Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning on the program, I want to conclude our study of the book of Ephesians. And I want to thank you for joining us each week, or if you are a newcomer to the program, I want to thank you for being with us. We've been going through the great book of Ephesians that talks about Christ and His church. And Paul writes about the fact that it is a glorious church in chapter 3. And we can be a part of that. We can be baptized into Christ like the Ephesians were in Acts chapter 19. They received all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. They became members of Christ's body, the glorious church. And you can do the same even today, some 2,000 years after the first century. I would encourage you to do that. Let's get together and learn the truth of what you need to do to be saved and to be right with God and to remain in a saved condition until Jesus returns again. And that's the goal of going through the book of Ephesians, is so that we can all learn how to be members of the Lord's glorious church. And as we come to the conclusion, let that not be the conclusion of our Bible study together. If I can assist you in studying together, please contact us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. You can come visit us and we can talk about studying together. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. You can visit us and leave a message on our contact page on our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. Give us a call, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. Let's get together and study God's Word so that we can all be members of that glorious church. I want to conclude our study of the book of Ephesians this morning. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through the end of the book. And we've been looking at the Christian's spiritual warfare with the devil. We are to walk in a spiritual warfare each and every day. The devil is trying to get our soul. That is the goal or the prize of the devil. He wants your heart, your life, your soul. And it's a fight. It's a battle. And we began that study last week, and I want to conclude that this week. We've been saying all along that in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters deals with the Christian's wealth in Christ, the spiritual blessings that he or she has in Christ. In chapters 4 through 6, the Christian's walk in Christ, the daily responsibilities that he or she is to be fulfilling in order to be a faithful Christian. And we close with our walk in warfare. Again, if you have missed any of the previous studies, you can listen to all of them on our website, wbcoc.org. There is a tab at the top that mentions the Let the Bible Speak program. Click on that and you'll see the previous programs that you can listen to. Let's read together Ephesians 6, 14 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go back through as we've always done and begin to make some comments. And we're going to be looking at the whole armor of God. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with all taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And on my behalf, that utterance may be given unto me, in opening my mouth to make known with boldness, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs, how I do, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for this very purpose, that you may know our state, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. Of course, last week we looked at this matter of Christians fighting the spiritual warfare. A Christian is to be strong in the Lord. Number two, it's not a physical fight, it's a spiritual battle. Verse 12, it's not wrestling against flesh and blood, but a spiritual battle. We're to take up the whole armor of God and stand against the devil. And so then Paul, in verses 14 through 17, and then including prayer in verse 18, he's going to talk about all of the things that Christians need to put on with regard to that whole armor of God, and that's where we want to begin this morning. Paul says in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth." The Roman soldier would have been very familiar in Paul's day to Paul's audience in Ephesus and other places around the Roman Empire. Christians and others would have seen Roman soldiers, much like we see a police officer with their uniform and different things that they have on them. They would have seen the Roman soldier walking around. And the Roman soldier of Paul's day would gird up his loins or midsection with a belt and undergarments to prepare for his movement and battle. And so Paul wants the same thing for Christians, to gird up your loins, he says. That is to bind up the midsection of the body in a physical sense and be ready and prepared for service and work and movement. We need to be prepared to do battle. And we do that with the truth of God's word. The battle is going to be strong, and it will take effort to fight it. And so we have to be prepared to stand our ground. We have to be prepared to advance. We have to be prepared to march. We have to be prepared to fight. And so truth is what is going to bind us up, as it were, and prepare us for those things. The Christian is bound up and ready for battle with truth that comes from God's word. God's word is truth, John 17:17. And it's the word of the truth of the gospel. There are many New Testament passages that tell us that God's word in the New Testament is truth. Truth is not what you and I make it to be. Truth does not change from generation to generation and society to society. Truth is not flexible and bendable. Truth doesn't change depending upon particular situations. Truth is not one thing for you and something different for me. It's a fixed standard of right and wrong, good and evil, laid out in the Word of God. And we get away from that in modern society. People don't want truth, not just Bible truth, but any truth. We want fake. We don't want truth. We want lies. We want deceit. We want fake. You no doubt have heard about the fake news. People don't want to report truth anymore, or all of the truth. They want a false narrative. And so we've got to get back to fighting a battle with truth at the core of our armor. It is what is at the core or the midsection. It is what holds us together. It's like walking on ice, slipping and sliding. When we don't have a fixed truth to go by, in our daily lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our personal lives. That's why reading the Bible, reading God's Word is so important so that we can know what that truth is. Don't let truth be drowned out by human wisdom and what society is saying and what people think and feel. Don't let truth be clouded by those things. It's so important to read for yourselves. You can know the truth for yourselves. You don't need a church hierarchy to explain it to you. You have your own Bible. If we can help you get a Bible, you can read and you can understand and you can know and you can learn. And that's so very important. So first of all, truth, as it comes in God's Word, is what binds us up for this particular fight. And then the Apostle Paul writes that there is to be a breastplate put on that would cover the chest, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier of Paul's day would cover his chest with a breastplate to protect his vital organs, the heart and the lungs. It covers to protect. And Paul wants Christians to put on a breastplate of righteousness, which would protect them from the devil through righteous living. We have to live right. Paul uses some similar language, if you want to hold your hand there in Ephesians chapter 6 and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's talking about Jesus coming again. And we have to be right and ready when he comes again. And Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, "But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we need to be ready when Jesus comes again and protect ourselves spiritually. Here it's called the breastplate of faith and love. That lets us know that in addition to righteousness, faith and love also protect us. Loving God, loving the Lord with all of our heart, faith in God's word, active obedience, that acts as a breastplate to protect us, righteous living each day. And then he mentions here, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And our hope set on being saved when Jesus comes again protects us like a helmet protects the head. We'll talk about that later in just a minute. So we can overcome the devil, but we have to be putting these things on. And so the Christian will overcome the battle through righteous living. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, those who are in heaven, it's as if they are dressed in white, and that those white robes are the righteous acts of the saints. And so we have to be living right each and every day, right according to God's word, not our own personal feelings or opinions. And so it's not just about believing something, but acting and being right, righteous living in our marriage and family and so forth. So do you have that? Have you put on truth? Have you put on the breastplate of righteousness? And then Paul goes on to say there, after the breastplate, he goes on to say, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldier in Paul's day would wear sandals or boots on his feet to prepare for marching in battle. And those sandals or boots would have spikes on the bottom to give them traction and a firm footing. Paul wants the Christian each day to wear the gospel of peace and to carry it with them throughout the battle to save others and save themselves. The peace here, remember back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, is the peace that comes when sin is removed and we can be reconciled to God through the cross. By having sin removed, we can be at peace with God. And it's the gospel of peace. It's the obedience to the gospel that brings that about. Paul also says that Christians are to carry the preparation or the readiness, one version says, of the gospel with them into battle. Christians need to be prepared and ready to battle and fight, and they use the gospel of peace to do that, to maneuver, to advance. Just like you have shoes on your feet that help you to walk, to advance and maneuver and carry on. It's the gospel of peace that helps us to do that. And so we have to know that, and we have to obey that. And again, that's why reading God's word is very important. And if you'll also notice that every one of these, what we call pieces of armor in the Christian armor, putting on the whole armor of God, they all have something to do with God's word, all of them. So that's why God's word in the Bible, the New Testament in particular, is so important for you, friend, to be reading and studying, learning, obeying. We're getting back into school and the young people learning. Do your children know the Bible? We have Bible classes for all ages. Do they know the Bible? They could come and learn. That learning is more important than secular education in the long run. They need to be learning God's word, the Bible as well. It's very important. And you and I do as parents. I'm a parent and I need to know God's word, but my children need to know that as well. All of these pieces of armor, if you want them to be protected from the devil, they're going to have to know God's word. And all of these pieces relate to God's word. And then Paul goes on to say that there is a shield of faith. With all taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. The evil one's the devil. The Roman soldier of Paul's day would carry a large shield to defend himself against the attack of the sword, the club, the spear, the fiery arrow, or some other weapon or projectile. In the same way, Paul wanted the Christian to protect himself or herself in battle with a strong faith. Faith will keep the Christian from falling into the hands of the enemy. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, 1 John 5, verse 4. And each Christian can be victorious over the devil with a strong faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So it's directly proportional. The more of God's word we know and obey, the stronger our faith is. And the Christian's shield of faith will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. In Paul's day, warfare was often conducted with a very strong bow and arrow that at the tip of the arrow there would be a fire. They would have material that would burn. They might soak that in tar or oil, and they would light that on fire and shoot it at the enemy. And we're talking about a fiery arrow. It's very deadly. And the devil shoots that at us. The devil will assault and assail and attack the Christian with many things that are like fiery arrows. But the Christian will be able to protect himself with a strong faith and extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, one version reads. The devil is shooting at us. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, human philosophies, worldliness, all kinds of things are being shot at us, but those fires will be extinguished and put out by a strong faith. And you need to ask yourself, friend, are you protected? Am I protected? If the answer is no, then let's get that fixed before you're lost eternally by the attack of the devil. We keep talking about our military. We appreciate our military. Of course, we have Fort Campbell here in the 101st and other groups, and we appreciate our military. We appreciate them protecting us physically, but we also need to be thinking about being a Christian soldier in the Lord's army. We also need to be thinking about battles that are more important as far as eternity is concerned than these physical wars that we see around us. You need to be a soldier in the Lord's army. If you're not, you're on the wrong side of the battlefield, and you're going to lose. And so we would encourage you to make that change. And then Paul goes on to talk about the helmet of salvation. Of course, salvation comes from God's word. Verse 17, take up the helmet of salvation. The Roman soldier of Paul's day would have worn a helmet on his head for protection. And Paul wants the Christian in the same way to protect themselves in battle with the helmet of salvation, knowing that one is saved, knowing that the blessings of salvation, knowing the hope of salvation is in heaven. This can be a strong protection against the attacks of the devil. We know that the word of God is true, and we believe in that. And so that hope of salvation is like a helmet that protects us. But again, we have to be putting that on each and every day. And then Paul closes with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we are to take that up. The Roman soldier of Paul's day would carry a sword to defend himself and to attack his opponent. And Paul wants Christians to do the same, to defend themselves and to attack with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is likened unto a double-edged sword. God's word will help a Christian defend himself or herself against all sin. I think about Jesus when he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. Each time he was tempted, he appealed to, "It is written." And God's word will help a Christian attack all sinful things. Paul used the word of God in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, to tear down and attack anything that was against the obedience of Christ. And so whether it's defending ourselves or whether it's attacking, the word of God is able to help us do all those things. And so friends, I would encourage you, as it is important to do, to walk in our spiritual warfare with the devil and put on the whole armor of God. These six things that Paul mentions also have to go along with prayer. Verse 18, with all prayer and supplication. Paul concludes his discussion of the Christian's battle with a word about the importance of prayer and supplication. The armor of God, coupled with prayer and supplication, will provide a strong defense in the Christian's battle with the devil. Prayer is to be made regularly, Paul says, at all seasons. I think about 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It is to be a spiritual petition or prayer in accordance with the Holy Spirit. That is, according as He would want you to pray, according to His will revealed in Scripture. Praying in the Spirit, praying for things that would be pleasing to the Holy Spirit, knowing what He writes about in His Word. Prayer is to be with alertness or constancy, watching and perseverance. And prayer is to be an intercessory petition for all the saints. Not just praying for ourselves, but keeping others in mind as well. Their needs, their problems, their issues, their struggles. They have problems, and we pray for them to help them. So, our battle with the devil. Now, in verse 19, Paul wanted the Ephesian Christians not only to pray for their own defense and other Christians, but for his own preaching. He wanted them to pray for him that his mouth would be opened with boldness. One version says fearlessly. And it does take boldness to preach the truth, especially when your audience does not want to hear it in some kind of way. And so Paul wanted to preach with all boldness and to preach the mystery of the gospel. Preaching the gospel made Paul an ambassador in chains. Remember, as we began this book, in this study that the book of Ephesians is one of four prison epistles that Paul wrote when he was in a Roman prison in Acts chapter 28, toward the end of the chapter there. And this is one of the four prison epistles. So he's an ambassador in chains. Paul preached and presented Jesus Christ to others, and his preaching caused him to be imprisoned at Rome in bonds or chains. However, Paul knew that preaching boldly for Jesus was the only way that he ought to speak. And even though he was physically bound or physically chained, he will say in 2 Timothy, but the word of God is not bound. He was allowed to keep preaching the word of God. He writes these prison epistles. He receives Christians who come and go to him, and the word is spread that way. Christianity is spread that way. We even know that Paul was able to convert a slave while he was in Rome named Onesimus. And so definitely Paul is continuing to preach the word of God, and it has success. So he wants others to pray that he might continue having that boldness and that success. And then Paul makes some closing remarks. In his closing remarks to the Ephesians, he includes a word about his fellow worker and companion, Tychicus. And Paul planned to send Tychicus to Ephesus to tell Christians there about how he was doing and what he was doing in prison. And Tychicus would also comfort and encourage the Ephesians. This man was a beloved brother, and he was a faithful or trusted minister or servant of Paul and Jesus Christ. And we need to be Christians like that today. Christians who will volunteer to go back and forth and help others. Christians who are loving and loved. Christians who are trustworthy and commendable and always ready to work and serve. We need Christians like that in the Lord's church today. And then Paul closes with his benediction or blessing in the last two verses. His closing remarks include a benediction or blessing upon the Ephesian Christians. He wants them to have peace and love with faith. This peace and love would come from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also wanted them to be blessed with God's grace or favor. We studied that earlier, Ephesians chapter 2. And the Christians at Ephesus who would be blessed are the Christians that love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. This kind of love for the Lord is without corruption. In other words, it is a love of sincerity, a genuine love. And that's how Paul closes this book. Well, friends, I hope that our study of Ephesians has been beneficial and helpful. And if I can encourage you to be a member of God's glorious church through baptism, let's get together and make that happen. Thank you for joining us in these series of lessons as we've gone through the book of Ephesians, and I hope that you'll join us next week. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.